we stopped at the restaurant to have dinner. And while I was drinking my coffee, I happened to think I left the coffee pot on the stove burning when we left church this morning. So we rushed home, and it was still burning. But the house didn't burn down.
Amen.
4 hours, that, you know what? God watches over babies and idiots.
It's wonderful when something like that happens, isn't it? All right. Let's open our Bibles tonight, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I was a little reluctant to get into 1 Corinthians because that's what Sam and Betsy are teaching and learning in their Bible study. But they're not there yet, so this may prepare you for that time when you get over to chapter 16. Read along with me, if you will, as we look here, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. In other words, pick out somebody that you can trust to get it there so that they don't go off to Athens and someplace where they have, you know, gambling casinos and things like that, try to double it. And then he goes on to say, verse 4, and if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus, that's Timothy, come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but consider him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. And touching our brethren Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. He will come when he shall have convenient time. This is probably not the most exciting text in the Bible that I've selected tonight. Basically, Paul is wrapping up this long letter that he's written to the Christians there at Corinth. with some personal notes about his future plans. And that's what we read. So, you may ask, how does this help us in the year 2011 to know what Paul's travel plans were way back yonder about 57 AD? What relevance does it have to us, what Paul planned to do 1,954 years ago? And yet, here it is in our Bible. So let's summarize this and see what Paul's telling us. He's telling us here, he said, I plan to stop by and see you on my way to Macedonia. I'll stay a while with you, perhaps through the winter months. Timothy may be coming by too. I asked Apollos to come, but he had other plans for now. He'll be coming to you when he has a convenient season. So that's what Paul's telling them here. Now that may not sound like fiery evangelistic preaching material, but there's a statement here that Paul made about Timothy down in verse 10 that caught my attention, and I would like for us to think about this. For he, that is Timothy, worketh the work of the Lord as I do. Timothy is working the work of the Lord as I do. Now, Paul is simply explaining in here how he's doing the work of the Lord. Working on his itinerary, making his travel plans, how he's going from this place to that place and preaching the gospel as he goes. And that's how he did the Lord's work. You read in the book of Acts about his travels that he made, the three missionary journeys, we call them, traveling across the country, preaching Christ everywhere that he went. Kind of like a missionary on deputation, isn't he? That's what he's doing, going from one place to another. Now, in the last verse, that previous chapter, in chapter 15, verse 58, again, Paul had exhorted and said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, what? In the work of the Lord. We're talking about abounding in the work of the Lord. And now then, he's giving us an example of what he's talking about being steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the work of the Lord. I like these two guys that he mentions there, along with himself, in that I associate them with as examples of the caliber of men that God needs in his churches today. There's Timothy. Timothy is steadfast. Apollos, unmovable. Paul, always abounding. That's what we need. People who are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Now, from Paul's travel plans, we find several qualifications of a man qualifications that a person should have if he's going to do the work of the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say. And by the way, the work of the Lord is not limited to just preaching.
Amen.
When you're preaching, that's not the only work of the Lord that a person can do. I want you to notice here about Paul. Paul had a vision for the future. He was looking for the Lord to come. The Lord may come any day. But we don't just put on a white sheet and go out and sit on top of a mountain and wait for the rapture. We're to be busy doing the Lord's work till He comes. Paul had a vision for the future. He was planning ahead. Now, he wrote 1 Corinthians while he was at Ephesus. And it was near the end of his 3-year stay there at Ephesus. And at that time, he intended to leave Ephesus to visit Corinth, to travel on to Macedonia, and then perhaps stop by there and visit again on his way to Jerusalem to take the money that had been collected for the poor saints that were at Jerusalem. Now that was his plan. Did you notice he says, if the Lord permit? Yes. It might not work out exactly as he had planned, but that's all right. He's planning ahead. Things were going great there at Ephesus, but he's looking forward to working the work of the Lord, preaching the gospel in Macedonia and visiting Corinth and then getting back all the way to Jerusalem. He had his plans. Now, you'll see this again about Paul over in the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 24. I noticed that as he was writing to the Christians at Rome. He'd never been to Rome before. And he told them, he said, whenever I take my journey into Spain, he had plans to go all the way to the country of Spain. When I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. At the time he wrote this, he was at Corinth, and he was writing to Rome, and he was thinking about going all the way over to Spain. So, when you read this about Paul, you can see that the great commission that Jesus Christ had given to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature was heavy upon Paul's heart. He took it personally. That's the way it ought to be with each and every one of us. So to do the work of the Lord, we're going to have to be a visionary, so to speak. There has to be in the heart a vision, a drive for the work to be done and how we're going to accomplish it. Does the Bible not say, without a vision, the people perish? We need a vision. We have to see with our minds and through our hearts people in other places who are dying without Christ, perishing without the gospel. We're concerned about people who are starving in other countries. That's the secular world. Christians should be concerned about those who do not have the gospel preached to them throughout all the world. There are people, they tell us, who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. What a shame. What a shame. We need to reach out with that forward look. Jesus said in his days that the fields were white unto harvest, but the laborers were few. We need to see those white harvest fields that are ready to be reaped. Vision is more than just having good ideas. Vision is seeing the need. Vision is figuring out how to meet that need and then putting feet to it and striving to accomplish it. If you're just sitting, waiting for the Lord to tap you on the shoulder and ask you if you want to do something for him, forget it. It just ain't going to happen. You look around and see what needs to be done and then get busy and do it.
Amen.
That's doing the work of the Lord. We need a vision. We need to see the work that needs to be done. And then something else, we need to be flexible about it, about the things that we do. Did you notice Paul's little disclaimer in there? He says, if the Lord permit, we say, the Lord willing, we'll do it. Paul planned to plan it out the best that he could, but he let the Lord have veto rights over what he was going to do. You know, we're reminded of an incident that took place over in Acts chapter 16. You'll remember this. Paul's out on his missionary journey, and he's going everywhere preaching the word, and he's spending the night at this one place, and the Bible says that he had a plan. He wanted to preach the word in Asia Minor. But he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost. God closed the door. He said no. All right, Paul's got another plan. Plan B. The Bible says he essayed to go into Bithynia. Did he make it? No. The Bible says the Spirit suffered them not. God didn't let him go. All right, about this time, Paul said, well, I tried to go to Asia Minor, tried to go to Bithynia. I'm not going anywhere. If I can't go where I want to go, I'm not going anywhere. But he didn't do that. God gave him plan C. You read it right there. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. All right. What did Paul think about that? So we immediately endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He got his directions from the Lord. He was flexible. Listen, if things don't work out as you plan, don't get mad, sull up and sulk and quit. Be flexible. Amen. Paul's attitude was that it doesn't matter too much which direction the Spirit promised. He was ready to go. He was ready to go whichever way the Spirit directed him to go. You know why? Because basically you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. In the work of the Lord, it's good to have a plan. But don't be surprised or disappointed or upset if God has a direction for your life to go that you hadn't planned on. Sometimes the best laid plans of men go astray, don't they? I'm sure you've experienced that. Why in the world do you think I'm here in California when I could be in Texas? Amen. All right. You got to be flexible. You got to bend with the breeze. And something else, the work of the Lord is not to be done in a superficial way. You've got to be willing to stick with it. Paul's plans, he said, when I get there, he said, I may just go ahead and spend the winter with you. He wanted to go on to Macedonia, but he wasn't going to just wave at Corinth as he went through town. He knew that the church needed him there, and he was willing to stay as long as he was needed. He knew that it takes time to grow a church. It takes time to disciple new converts. It takes time to get them rooted and grounded in the faith. It takes time to establish doctrine.
Yes, sir.
And he was willing to stay as long as the Lord wanted him to stay. He previously spent 18 months at Corinth. He'd been there before, see. He spent 3 years at Ephesus. And now he's going back to Corinth for 3 or 4 more months probably, because he's committed to the long haul. Longevity builds strong works. I got to thinking about this and I checked it out. There's a fellow that lived a generation ago down in Texas by the name of Dr. J. Frank Norris. He pastored the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth with its 10,000 members for 43 years. And for 16 of those 43 years, he also pastored the Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, with 8,000 members there, traveling back and forth between the two. And he still had time to start Bible college on the side. 43 years. Dr. Lee Robertson pastored Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They say that during his 41 years there, he had 61,000 converts to Christ. And he too started a college. Remember Jerry Falwell? He founded and pastored Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. Gained 24,000 members in 51 years. Started a college there too. Dr. Tom Malone. He was a wonderful soul. I always loved him. He pastored Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. Had 2,500 members that he pastored for 65 years. And so he too started a college. When I enrolled in Bible Baptist Seminary in 1950, there was a fellow graduating there by the name of Harold Henniger. Harold Henniger went to Canton, Ohio, and started the Canton Baptist Temple. And for 61 years, he pastored that and built the fifth largest church in the United States of America. 61 years. Then there was Dallas Billington. He pastored 16,000 members at Akron Baptist Temple in Akron, Ohio, for 38 years. You ever hear of a fellow by the name of W.A. Criswell? Pastored the First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. 7,800 members for 58 years. And then that prince of preachers, that Englishman by the name of Charles Spurgeon, pastored the largest Baptist church in the world, the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England, and he preached to tens of thousands of people for 37 years. Longevity. They stuck to it. They kept going. It wasn't all easy. By the way, that's just a few. The books are full of them. What a testimony. Well, I've got one more point to make. We must be committed to present service. While you're waiting to do your big thing, whatever that is, stay busy for the Lord. Sure, Paul was looking ahead to a future ministry in Corinth, in Macedonia, in Rome, in Spain, in Jerusalem, wherever the Lord led him. But in the meanwhile, he wasn't sitting still. He was busy. He was doing something in the here and now. Well, he did have a little time out. God put him in jail down in Caesarea for a while. And I think that was just to kind of give him a rest, you know. But, you know, even while he was there in jail, he was busy testifying to kings, no less, of the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He was busy. He put all of his energy into the present. Wherever he was, whatever he was doing, he put his life into it. He worked as though there would be no tomorrow, doing the work of the Lord. Now, some folks have a head full of pipe dreams. They can tell you what great things they plan to do someday. But many of them never get beyond that dreaming stage. You see, I've spent time in Bible college with young men and young women who had surrendered their lives to the Lord, and they had vision and they had purpose for their lives. And I've shared their dreams and their visions as they trained to be pastors and teachers and missionaries and evangelists and all such as this. I've been there and I've been one of them. That's a good place to go to find people with dreams and visions, isn't it? Aspirations. Some make it, some fizzle out. It's an amazing thing. The fellow that was the valedictorian of the graduating class that graduated the year before I did. I'll not embarrass him by calling his name. He was a wonderful student. He had dreams and visions and aspirations. And I remember running across a fellow one day there in Texas, and he said, "Hey," he says, "you remember so-and-so?" And he called this guy's name. I said, "Yeah, how's he doing?" He said, "Well, I saw him out in West Texas. He had a cotton sack on his back. He's going out in the fields to pick cotton." You know, they used to have a saying there that this guy's working out in the field and it's hot out there and everything, and he looks up and he sees the formation of the clouds up there and says, "PC." Oh, God wants me to preach Christ. And later on he finds out that it meant God wanted him to pick cotton. So sometimes our dreams kind of fizzle out, don't they? And maybe we don't accomplish everything that we set out to do, but we stay busy in the work of the Lord. Now, the work of the Lord does not necessarily need dreamers, it needs doers. So we got to quit waiting for the right time. Quit looking for the perfect opportunity. But do God's work right now. Don't sit and wait for God to plop you down in some dream ministry. Sometimes people get ideas like that. I know. I graduated from Bible school. I was going to set the world on fire. I was going to be another Billy Graham. God set me down out in New Mexico. And if you don't think pastoring New Mexico people is hard, you just ask this young lady over here from New Mexico and she'll tell you. They're kind of hard to read sometimes, aren't they? Yeah. Well, I didn't become a Billy Graham. But if you see something that needs to be done for the Lord, be it great or small, do it. And do it now. For the day comes when no man can work. Every Christian may not be called to preach the gospel or pastor a church. When Paul was there at Corinth, he spent part of his time making tents with Aquila and Priscilla. Remember that? But every Sabbath day, he was reasoning in the synagogue and persuading the Jews and the Greeks that Jesus Christ was God and he was the Savior of the world. Being a Christian is a full-time job. And there's no place to sit down and rest. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we look to the Lord. Ask God's blessing upon this service tonight, upon the message, and may it have been an inspiration and an encouragement to us in our work and service for the Lord. And as we pray, Brother Roger Delisle, will you lead us, please, in our prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've been in your house today to hear your word and your love for us. We thank you that everything we've done to you here today to give glory to you, and Lord, we thank you for the hymns and especially the preaching, Lord, that we just thank you so much for this. We know that this is a church that teaches and preaches your word without compromise. We thank you so much. We thank you for loving us and first loving us, and Lord, we were all sometimes, as the pastor said this morning, pharaohs. We are so glad that you soften our hearts and accept us, our own Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you again for this church that preaches and teaches your word without compromise. We love you. We thank you for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Remember next Sunday, big day. Wednesday night, Bible study, 6 o'clock.